I want to start tonight sharing what I feel is the foundation to people's lives and walking in victory. I'm not going to start with knowledge. I start with spirit. Because it's the spirit of a warrior that's upon you that takes the knowledge of the Lord, takes the knowledge of truth, and becomes a sword in your hand. So tonight we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to do something miraculous in us, and that is we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to birth the heart of a warrior. See, some of us have totally misunderstood the gospel. I want to tell you something, Dale. I love to see change. Dale, when I heard you up there vocally praising God tonight, I knew God had miraculously done change. I just so thankful. See, all of us can remain the same. But change is what the Holy Spirit is doing in all of our lives. And it's breaking free from the norm. That's why I'm going to be heard. If I'm in church, I'm going to be heard. But I don't care anything about being heard by you. I'm going to be heard in hell. And I'm going to be heard in heaven.
That's right.
There's a sound. I love that song that Lynn, they referred back to. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. What is the sound of grace? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. What is the sound of grace? I've heard it. I've heard it in the midst of a healing. I've heard it in the midst of deliverance. I've heard it in the midst of sorrow. I've heard it in the midst of pain. There is a sound of grace. I love Sister Carolyn Leaf and her teaching, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, she just brought so much into the body of Christ. One thing she says, that the entire body is made up of sound. That every cell, where we used to think it was protons, electrons, and neutrons, I believe this. She says, but they found a new center core in every cell in our body is sound. In fact, they say when a body is in health, there is a singing sound that they can detect now that comes out of your cells. And that when a body begins to get sick, there is another sound that begins to come out. And I just want to make sure I keep the right sound. Amen. So I love to praise God. I love to declare truth. I love to be able to say a declaration out my mouth. I love that. I love to be able to declare the devil is a lie. There are those here tonight that the devil just really thought he had you knocked down and knocked out. Look at you. You sitting there so pretty tonight. Man, you have fooled that rascal. And one day in heaven, it's all going to be made up. I want you to know, it's all going to be made up. But until then, we're a warrior. We misunderstand. I believe we misunderstood a lot from the faith movement, which I love the faith movement. But I think we misunderstood. It caused us to want a time of total peace. But I tell you, a believer's peace is in the middle of a storm. You understand that, don't you? A believer's peace is in the midst of a storm. It's not when everything is going right in your life. If you're looking for a time for everything going to go right in your life, you are a warrior, honey, and you will war until Jesus comes. And the way is a kingdom advancement. It's the kingdom of God advancing forward. And the kingdom, the Bible says, suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And I believe Brother T.D. Jakes just explained it so well right there. We're going to fight. You're not going to have anything, do anything, be anything, see anything, feel anything without a fight. So you're going to have to put your fighting shoes on. You're going to have to put your fighting shoes on. And you're going to have to be ready to fight. Fight for some things. Now, because we've all been in the world, we can sure fight the wrong way. But the Lord wants to teach us how to fight the right way, doesn't He? So I'm going to talk to you tonight about staying free. It's a beautiful thing. Dale, would you mind passing those out for him? Thank you so much. Boy, I love the bikers. I believe the Lord's going to raise up a huge biker ministry, don't you? I just believe that. So I'm going to talk to you tonight about staying free, and it's the basis of, it's the one of the very foundational principles of living for God. Because see, it's easy to get free. How many of you know some people that got free and you thought they would be free forever and here they are backslid today? I mean, you thought they would be free. How many of you have lived that yourself? Me too. I get free and say, oh Lord, and I was declaring, and then before I know it, I was... See, to get free, it only takes an encounter. It only takes an encounter with God to get free. But it takes a real lifestyle to stay free. And what God is doing is in the process of changing us into a lifestyle that will bring freedom consistently in our life, where we'll be able to stay free. Now, we may have a little problem with that, but that's why where we've been going with our simulcast back in February was on the Holy Spirit, because we was going this process. Because I've spent 3 years in repentance. And that's one reason I haven't been here much, is because the Lord had revealed to me that I'd laid down the mantle that God had called me to wear. And so I went in the process of it. As the Lord began to reveal that I had laid down the mantle, then, and so in the last several months, I've been in a really mode of repentance. See, I don't believe you just wipe it to the side and walk on like it didn't happen. I believe that when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And so I'd laid down the mantle. God had put I'd made two commitments as far as this ministry is concerned about 35, 40 years ago. And the commitment I made to the Lord that we would always war. That was a commitment I made. We would always be a warring church. We would always be a church that was fighting. We'd be fighting for each other. We'd be fighting for the kingdom. We'd be fighting for other churches. We'd be fighting for our communities. We'd be fighting. That'd be a warring church. And the second commitment that I'd made to the Lord before the Lord, and I'm not talking a shallow commitment, I'm talking about in a process of 100 people. That's why we made these commitments. 100 people, we'd go off to a place and we'd fast and pray for 3 days, seek God, and then we would see what the Lord was calling us to do, and we would make these commitments for the Lord. So there was two major ones that we made to always be a ministry that was a fighting ministry. We would always be a war. We would never try to go at ease in Zion. That we would live a life of war until Jesus comes. And the second thing is, we would always value the presence of God above anything else. We would always value the presence of God and say that the presence of God meant more to us than anything else in the world. And to live that lifestyle about that. Well, somewhere in the process, really about 18 years ago, I began to tire. But it wasn't because of carrying the Lord's load. You don't never tire carrying the Lord's load. Because if you're carrying God's load, somebody said, I'm so tired doing what God called me to do. You're doing it. You can get out of the way and let God do it. Because the Holy Spirit has an energizing strength inside you that you don't tire doing things spiritually right. Doing them in spiritual ways. And so, but when any of us begin to carry our own load, we all get tired down. And so if you're in a real tired spiritual state, you need to just go to the Lord and say, God, evidently I have been doing it wrong. And I need to repent and do it right. Well, about 18 years or so ago, I began to get tired. I began to lay down and I began to get tired. So I tried to pass a warring mantle on to other people. Although I remained a warrior in my own life, I did not lead the ministries in war. So for the last 3 years, I've been in an area of repentance before God, asking God, number one, I thought you couldn't pick back up the mantle, really. I thought I had wasted the years. And I didn't think I could pick back up the mantle. And so, but then the Lord revealed to me, He just said, Jerry, get the thing back on, man. Get it back on. Get up and get it back on. And immediately when I did, supernatural strength began to come in my life. And in the process of it, during the last many months that I hadn't been here, I have been every service in Camden determining that we were moving back to be a warring church. And determining that we're going to value for the presence of God more than anything else in the world. And so in the process of it, then so God has begun helping us. And we have begun our journey back. Somebody say the journey back. How many has ever been on a journey back? Anybody ever been on a journey back? Man, all of a sudden you get off crooked and all out of line, and then all of a sudden you say, wow, how'd I get here? God puts a finger out and says, you know how you got here. And then we have to turn around and have to move back. Right. Well, man, I tell you, I've been like a ping pong ball. Man, pulling, 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 pulling. And so, but the Lord is so gracious. He is full of what? Somebody say it out loud. Mercy. Somebody say, I love that word, don't you? That's got my name written in it. Somebody said, He's full of what?
Mercy.
God is full of mercy. And God is willing. God's willing. And so then in the last several months, it's been my prayer and commitment for the Lord is to put back on that mantle. And so, man, I stand before you today as a warrior. And it's the most valued mantle that I wear. Because, see, my Jesus is the warrior. And the Bible says, my Father is a warrior. And I'm going to be just like Him. In fact, when God created me, He created me just like himself. He created me a warrior. And everything the world has tried to do is try to make me everything but a warrior. But God molded me. See, God created the bodies out of the dirt. Your body created out of dirt. But you're created out of God. In fact, when God made you, he took himself. That's what he said. He said, let us make man. Now, that's not the body, because the Bible says he created the body out of the dirt. So your body's created out of dirt. But you were, God took himself, molded you out of himself. That's why if in our purest form, we desire, our desires are God, and our love is God, and our heart is God, and it feels right to be on the right line with God. Amen. So we're molded and shaped in that way. So, but what we got to realize that then, in as we process and in life, we get all these entanglements, and that's where we're talking about staying free. Let's say it's easy to get free. There's not a person here tonight. I believe, you can in a moment's time. Many of you have walked in probably 100 altar calls or more. I've walked in at least 1,000, and I have been freed so many times. I've been freed in my morning prayer so many times. Because getting free is pretty easy. It just takes an encounter with God, the authority of Jesus. Lord, I'm tired of this stuff ruling me. I break it in Jesus' name. And it works. It's powerful works. But then staying free. Now, the problem with staying free, Jesus explained it in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Let's look at those verses just for a quick moment. Joe's going to bring them up on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. But we need to realize these scriptures are there, and these are basic teachings of Jesus. It said, but the unclean spirit, when he has gone out of the man, passes through waterless places seeking rest, and he finds it not. So this is a man that has been freed. I have been there many a time. I've been there many a time. But notice what that spirit begins to say. Then he says, I will return into my house. I'm not his house. But what does he think? I'm his house. He's still, even though he's cast out of me, even though my allegiance with that demonic power is broken, he's still calling me his house. I'm not his house. And sometimes we have a pretty big argument about that. Him and I'm talking about. He says, that's my house. I said, this is not your house. I said, this is God's house. Amen. He said, it's my house. I can stir up those same things. I can stir up that same emotion. I can stir up that same fear. I can stir up that same jealousy. I can stir up that same sorrow. I can stir up that. Devil says, it's my house. I said, it's not your house. It's God's house. If you can stir up hurt and pain, difficulty, I can stir up joy, peace. Amen. Because this is God's house. Somebody say, this is God's house. And you need to turn. Take your little hand, put it right there on your chest. Say, I do not belong to the devil. I'm God's house. Now, you got to know, but the devil's saying you're his house. He's arguing against you. He's arguing against the things that's trying to bring on you. He's trying to convince you. He's trying to convince you all he can. He's trying to convince you that you're his house. And you got to know whom you yield yourself to obey. That's your master. That's your master. So if you're going to stay free, you've got to learn. We all have to learn. We have to learn how to yield to God. And resist yielding to the devil. Now somebody said, well, God just do away. He's cast out because the devil still thinks you're his house. That's what Jesus said right there. That's what the devil's going around saying. Chris, that's why he's going around saying. He said, Chris is my house. Chris is my house. See? And somebody said, well, why don't God just do away? Because God will always allow two trees. Always. In the garden, he allowed two trees. One tree, he said, you partake. The next tree, you can't partake. God always provides you a choice. And your allegiance to make the right choice determines who's going to be your master. That's why you'll be sitting in a godly place, and the very next thing, something filthy will go through your mind. Anybody ever have that happen to you? And God allowed that. See, you know why he did? Because he trusted you to choose the right. And he trusted you to resist the wrong. He trusted you. I mean, you'd be sitting right in a place like this, and all of a sudden we're talking about love and loving God, and you'd be sitting there thinking about how bad somebody's done you. That's that tree you can't partake of. See? God trusts us. God will always allow two trees, because if God did not allow two trees, then we would be robots in our service. There is no love in a robot. There can only be love if there's a choice. There can only be love in a life if there is a choice. So God allows that choice, even at the sake of possibly losing you. God allows that choice. So you have to realize then that this process is, so the devil's there, he's saying, this is my house and from where I came out. And when he's come, he finds it in three different categories. He finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had some glorious experiences in God. I know I've been there when somebody, Dale, you've had a glorious experience in God. I see that, see the reaction on in your life. People look different when they've had an experience in God. Man, I tell you what, Dr. Porche goes to Camden Church. She has really been fighting cancer. She's a precious friend of mine, a precious sister, been a part of the Camden Church for some time. And she has really been having this ongoing battle with cancer. And so we have been interceding prayer. She's keeping her practice going, keeping her medical practice going, but at the same time she's in this, but she's handling faith. And so she came to me Sunday. She didn't have to tell me a thing. I knew she was healed. She looked different, totally different. All of a sudden, all of that weakness and darkness had gone. And all of a sudden, there was just light. And then the next words came out of her mouth. She confirmed it. I say it's easy. When you get free, what I'm saying, when you get free, you look different. That's what the Bible calls garnished. God decorates you like that. He wants the world to know that you've been free. And it changes. Man, your face changes. Your eyes change. I can usually look at a person's eyes and tell when they have just experienced freedom. That's what Jesus said. The light of the body is the eye. You can see light in people's eyes. When people have experienced freedom in their life, they look different. There is a glow that comes out of there. That's garnished. But the Bible said, and swept. Man, how many of you have done some sweeping out of your closets spiritually? Man, me too. Man, the Lord deal with me in things. He's dealing with me things right now. There's not a day goes by that God usually doesn't deal with me over some issue in my life that I need to sweep out, either attitude or something I say to somebody or something has to be done. So we sweep. But the part that can't be there is that first part. It said it's empty, swept, and garnished. Empty. Because if I stay empty, if I don't fill that part back up with the part where the enemy left out, if I don't fill it back up, he will come back. He will enter back in. I don't care how much you love Jesus. I don't care how many songs you sing. I don't care how much praise you got in your heart. If you don't fill that space in your life that the devil was defeated and removed from, if you don't fill it up with God. But see, where we mistakenly do it, what we do, we fill it up with other things a lot. And for the first time, you know how when you've experienced peace and you experience joy, so you say, wow, I feel good. I'm going to go to that ball game. That's okay. But that can't be all that you fill up with. Listen to me. You say, oh, for the first time in a long time, I feel good. I feel good. So I'm going to celebrate my life. Now, that's okay, but I'm telling you, that's not what you fill your life up with. If you've experienced some freedoms in your life, the next step, you've got to get that space filled up. You've got to get it filled up. That means you should be stronger in the Lord. There should be an added strength coming out of your life through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God working in you. If you don't refill that empty space up with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, then the enemy will come back. Now notice what Jesus said the state of that would be. In verse 45, he said, then goeth he and taketh him. You know why he takes others? Because he knows that alone you cast him out. He will never come back. People say, well, you know, and we forget how bad it was. And when we forget how bad it was, and then we think, well, you know, if I drift back, I can always run back. That's not the way it is. He will never come back in you the same. Because He knows the way you were, you cast Him out. So this time when he comes back, He has to come back stronger. In fact, the Bible says that he goes and finds seven other, that's what that verse says, seven other wicked, more wicked than himself. See, he's determined. He's not going to lose you again. So he thinks, if I change you and you broke free, then I'm going to get seven worse than I am. I'm going to get seven more wicked, and I'm going to chain you where you can't get free. And the Bible says the last state of that man is what? Yeah, worse. Now, I just want to point these. That's exactly what 2 Peter says in the New Testament. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, it says, for you are like, you are slave to whatever controls you. Verse 20 says, and when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Joe, you don't have these, Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up. How many times have I prayed with people and they say, Brother Jerry, I just got tangled up. Man, that's exactly what the Scripture says. What are you getting tangled up with? Getting tangled up with things that you know that you shouldn't. Getting tangled up with possibly stuff on the internet that you know that you shouldn't. You're getting tangled up with conversations that you know that you shouldn't. You're getting tangled up with allowing people in your life that you know that you shouldn't. And this is where a warrior comes in. Because out of our weakness, everybody says, oh, I just got to have somebody. Yeah, but you need Jesus first. A warrior will not allow weakness because he knows that weakness will destroy him on the battlefield. A warrior learns how to stand strong, shut their mouth, put their faith in God, and stand and walk in the Lord. In fact, the stronger you are is not the more that you say, because you find out that in heaven is made up of repetitious words. There's not a lot of words evidently in heaven. Mm-hmm. Worthy is the Lamb. Night and day, night and day, night and day. See? Not a lot of words. So it's not you becoming more Miss or Mr. It. No. But you're learning how to be strong in the Lord. Refilling your life up with those things that you know. The Word, everybody say, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You have no doubt. Somebody say, I don't know how what to get in my life. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. What am I going to get in my life? The Word of God and the Spirit of God. How am I going to get strong? Get the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Unless you start receiving more Word than you are right now, you will never, ever be any stronger than you are right now. Unless you begin to get more of the Spirit flow in your life, what I'm talking about, recognizing the Spirit. Some people are so caught up in their own personalities. They're so caught up in their own personality. Listen, you get caught up in your own personality, you may be Miss, what you call it, or Mr. What you call it, but it will mean nothing. It will mean absolutely nothing in life. The thing, what you want to get caught up in is recognizing, having conscious awareness of the Spirit of God with me at all times. If you want to get strong in the Spirit, become consciously aware that the Spirit of God is in you, wanting to use you, wanting to speak through you, wanting to help you all the time. Listen, you won't go towards sin as long as you know or you're conscious of the fact that the Spirit of God is in me and the Spirit of God wants to use me. If you would just keep your mind, say, I wonder what. Now, God's going to allow those two trees. So it's going to be that tree there all the time, that tree of trying to pull you into sin, that tree that's trying to pull you aside, that tree that God told in the garden, don't partake of that tree, because the day that you eat of that tree is the very day that you will die. So that God's going to allow that tree to be there. I know some of you just want God to pull that tree up by the root and get it out of your life, but God's going to let that tree, because every time you don't choose that tree, you're saying Jesus is Lord and I love Him more than anything else in all the world. Amen. So it's just powerfully there that we know. All right, and so the next verse, verse 21 said, it would be better if they had never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then reject it. Man, that's saying a lot. The Bible said it'd be better to never know. It'd be better to never walk in one altar call. It would have been better, because let me tell you, life in the world is bad, but when you see a believer go down and become seven times worse than they was before, it's unspeakable. I mean, it's a little hell on earth. So what I'm telling you, the Bible strictly says, it'd be better never to know righteousness than to know it, then reject the command that you were given to live a holy life. Amen. And the Bible says that just proves the proverb, doesn't it? It's like the pig that returns to his... Yeah, and that dog that... Yeah. So that's what it does. All right, let me close with this real quick. We're talking about Stanford. In our process with Brother Robert, you learned some things about getting free. And you learned some things that had to do to get free. Number one, you had to come to recognize that you were in bondage. If you didn't recognize some bondage in your life, my Lord, I recognize more bondages in my life. I mean, things that God wants to free me from. And the Lord is in process of that right now in my life. The second thing that we learn from is discernment. We need to discern how that bondage has affected us. I mean, if you don't know, ask the person next to you, because they can tell you. They know how your bondage has affected you. You may not can see it. It may be hidden in your eyes, but ask your person next to you, or ask somebody close to you. They know. They can see that bondage. The third step was that we were taught is to make it right. Now make it right. About 3 years ago, some of you really helped me pray with it through it, but I don't know if I told you the rest of the story. About 3 years ago that I got up one morning and I was just profusely bleeding. And it went days, and it couldn't stop. It was just flooding, and I'd just be in the hospital out. They couldn't stop it. But I knew it was spiritual. Now, some things that you face, they are physical, but some things you face, they're spiritual. I knew mine was spiritual. And I knew that all the sources that they could do still, I knew that. They wasn't going to be able to help me. I knew God had helped me. And so what it was is there's a principle of making it right. There had been people that I had wronged and some that felt that I had wronged them down through the years. And I knew that I had to make things right. In fact, the Bible says like this. If you come to the altar to have a wonderful time with God, and you remember there that your brother has aught against you, the Bible says, first go and be reconciled to your brother. So what I had to do, it was about 12 people in my life, about five of them maybe I had done something wrong to, and about seven of them I really hadn't, but they felt I had. So it doesn't matter. The Bible says if they have aught against you. So it was rather hard because I was really sick at that time, but I had to locate these people. Man, these people, they moved far and wide over the period of time. So I had to locate them first, had to find a way to communicate with them. But then I simply did. With every one of them, I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me. Almost immediately, I began to get better. Immediately. When the doctors put me back in, they said, Jerry, we cannot find a source of your problem at all. Because there wasn't a source. I was the source. I was the source of some things that was in my... And you have to make it right. When you recognize that a bondage has been in your life, you have to make it right. It's hard. You feel like it's going to crush you. I know how you feel. I know how you feel. I had to stand up in front of the church before and apologize to the church when I felt like the next action of the church, they're going to kick me out, you know? But you have to trust God. You have to simply trust God that God knows the right way to handle things in our life. And so the third step is you have to make it right. The fourth step, you have to have a power initiated with Jesus. I mean, there has to be that moment when you break that hold over your life. You had to have to be that moment. Now, sometimes that can occur through somebody laying hands on you. Sometimes that can occur, as we did with Simulcast with Brother Robert. At the end of it, he just prayed over us. And then we just accepted that freedom and that deliverance. There's been lots of times people's prayed over me and broken things off my life that the devil had put on my life. Then there's been other times where, man, I get fed up with it and I break it myself. Man, I wasn't going to wait on anybody else. I was going to get rid of that thing. So, it has to be that moment. But the last step is that I have to become into a lifestyle. I have to change. Because if I keep living the way I was living in that bondage, I will have that bondage again. I have to change. I have to change. If I'm going to live different, if I'm going to be different, so I say again, getting free is an encounter, but staying free is a lifestyle. All right, let me close with this one thing, and that is, first point I need to do, I need to develop a warfare mentality. I need to develop a warfare mentality. I've got to understand, God's built an army. He's not building a babysitting place. God is building an army. You can tell your maturity. Please, I don't know this. So you think I'm picking on you, but you're really picking on yourself if this is part of you. If you see yourself going through situations and you're trying to get God to help you, that is the lesser way to handle your difficulty. You've got to see yourself in a much bigger flow than that. You're a part of the kingdom. When you finally grasp in your faith that any assault against you is really an assault against God, and when you can finally see that in yourself that any assault against your life, and what I'm talking about, any assault that would try to keep the promises of God from being fulfilled in your life, it can be everything from sickness. It can be everything from a loss of job. It can be however, whatever it is. You got to understand. Now, if you want to always fight it, God, will you come help me? That's what will happen. He will honor your faith. God will come help you. But there is a better way to fight it. The better way to fight it is, Lord, you hear what that devil's saying about your child? Lord, do you see what that devil's trying to do? He's trying to keep your word from coming to pass. You're a part of something big. You're a part of the kingdom of God. And when you can see, there are those that you stand in front of, but what you've got to come to a place of your faith, you've got to let God stand in front of you. You are a warrior, but there's a much mightier warrior than you are. And that's God. And some people have a struggle with that, but I tell you what, I don't have no struggle with that. Devil attacks me, he's attacking God. Why is he attacking? He's attacking what the promise of the resurrection promised me. What Jesus died to give, what he died to share, what Jesus died, what he rose again. So every assault against you, you've got to say, this is an assault against the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you, it makes a difference. It just makes a difference. If you're going to have the strongest warfare mentality that you're going to have, you got to see it that way. You got to say, God, that's the same way David fought Goliath. Do you hear that, God? This uncircumcised Philistine coming against the armies of God. He could have said, look at that giant finna grab me. You see, but he didn't. He didn't make it like, he didn't make it personal. If you make it personal about you, it's going to be God always trying to get you out of hot water. But the very moment that you see yourself as a part of the kingdom of God, somebody said, well, I caused it. Well, repent. Get it out of the way. And then it's an absolute assault against the kingdom. Those promises that are in you in the Word, that's the atmosphere of the kingdom. You and I have this wonderful opportunity of allowing heaven to be on earth right here where we stand. My life. What God's promised me. What God's doing in my life. See. Now I can make it seem like, oh, heaven up there. I'm down here. Heaven, will you come help me? But that's not what Jesus said, pray. Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We all think about Jacob's ladder, we call it. How we talk about the ladder and the angels, you know, ascending and descending. What we fail to realize, the ladder doesn't come from heaven to earth. No, says Scripture, it doesn't. The ladder comes from earth to heaven. And then the angels come down it. You and I have this marvelous right to be a part of something bigger than we are. And you have a marvelous right to have the angels of God to stand with you and battle for you and to help you overcome things. You have the marvelous right of allowing the kingdom of God to be established to win battles in your life. Now you can keep fighting yourself if you want to. Or you can't hide behind the cross. Do you hear what I'm telling you? And if you will begin to see the assaults against your life is an assault against Jesus. Jesus, you hear what they're talking about your son. Jesus, you hear what they say about me? Jesus, do you see what the devil's trying to do to us? And all of a sudden, it's no more Jesus coming to your rescue. It's Jesus standing. And me standing behind him. And then I'll get nervous and I'll feel his hand. Quieten down, son. Quieten down. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. Quieten down, son. I got it. I can handle this. But you don't understand, Lord. Time's running out. Quieten down. I can handle this. I can handle this. If you can stand in that staunch, if you can stand in that way, stand, believe. Usually there's very little that God will need you to do except believe and stay hid behind him. But if he does need you to do something, he'll tap you on the shoulder and say, do it. Every once in a while he'll tell me, do something like that. I say, Lord, you see all those angels up there? It should be nice they come help us. Or I say, why don't you command them, son? Because the book of Psalms says they hearken to your voice. Say, son, why don't you command them? Well, I'd rather beg them here, Lord. I'd rather beg them here. You won't get them, son. The kingdom of heaven is mightily advancing. And Satan is doing everything he can to do to stop it. And the way he wants to stop the kingdom is to stop you. He wants to stop your life. He wants to stop everything that God wants to happen in your life. And we have to admit, sometimes it is a battle. And sometimes there is loss on that battlefield. The early church experienced that. As I already mentioned, the great apostle James was taken, beheaded and killed. Right behind him, Peter was delivered. Some things we don't understand, but what we do know, the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence. And the violent take it by force. And if I will stay hid behind Christ, if I will stay hid, use my faith to believe that God is big enough to handle this. God is big enough to handle this. You're not sizing up yourself anymore. You're sizing up God. God's big enough to handle this. God's big enough to handle this. And then every once in a while he'll tap you and say, why don't you tell Michael to come? You would jump out behind Jesus and say, Michael, get yourself down here and help me. Or something like that. The Bible says that he will hearken to the voice of your word. Then everything else. So that's the first principle. That's one of the greatest principles of being a warrior. Warrior mentality. Now there's other things we'll talk about next Wednesday night, Lord willing, about the warrior mentality. Certain things you got to get in your thought life. You got to change yourself. You got to change yourself. One of them is going to be is you'll find it rather comical is that you got to learn Greek. If you're going to be a warrior, you got to learn Greek. And that's really is a joke, because it's you got to learn what's Greek to you. Everybody says that's Greek to me. Something they don't understand. You've got to learn new language. You've got to learn, all of us, if we're going to be a warrior, we must learn the warrior language. If we're going to communicate, if we're going to win, we've got to learn to think We got to learn to communicate. It is a new training. But that's what the Bible says. Joe, let's close with that one verse over there about back of the first. It's about training. If you would, let's just close. That's a good verse to close with. Yes, I'm gonna give you a verse to study on this week. Okay, to just leave to your heart. Let me flip back here to starting offers. So really, I don't. Going to Joel chapter 3. That'd be a good verse for you to get into this week. Really would. It says, say to the nations far and wide, get ready for war. What do you need to tell yourself in the morning? What do you need to tell yourself in the morning?
Get ready for war.
What are you going to need to tell yourself tomorrow night?
Get ready for war.
Get ready for war. And it says, call out your best warriors. That's your seasoned warriors. But everybody's a warrior, see. Call out your best warrior. Let all your fighting men advance for the attack, the Bible says. Hammer your plow. It says take everything and make it a weapon. That's what it says. When it says hammer your plowshares, it says take everything, make it a weapon. And we're going to learn that in this group on Wednesday night, how to take everything you got and make it a weapon. Take everything you got and make it a weapon. Then it says train your weaklings to be warriors. So tonight you may be a best warrior, may be a weakling. But whether either one, God tells us to be a warrior. The thing that makes the difference in being a seasoned warrior and a weakling warrior is training. It's just training. God wants to train us to be mighty warriors. Let's just stand together if we would. Lord, we just thank you. Let's just take our hands. Let's just raise them to the sky like a warrior that's unashamed tonight. I want you to say, Lord, in Jesus' name, empower us, Lord. Empower us, Lord. Train us to be warriors for God. Lord, train us to be warriors. Make us mighty warriors, strong warriors, Lord. Warriors that win on the battlefield. How many of you got some financial battlefields that you need to win on? How many of you got some peace and joy that you need to win on? How many of you got some grandkids that you need to win on? How many of you got some friends, on behalf of some friends, you need to win on that battlefield? Lord, teach and train us, Lord, to be warriors in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a hand because He is so good to us. Oh, I love you. Love you. Good night.